Praise the Lord. This is Evangelist Julius Adewumi, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about the first fruits unto God in this sermon. And I pray that the Lord will open your understanding and help me to be able to present this message so that you will be blessed. In the last broadcast, we talked about the first fruits unto God, as we see in the book of Revelation chapter 14. And these first fruits, as I said, is from all the earth. Let me read it again and we go from there and see how the Lord will bless you. In Revelation chapter 14 from verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Now that is the description of the first fruits. And I started mentioning in the earlier broadcast, I said, what is the law of the first fruits in Israel? The law of the first fruits in Israel, like I mentioned earlier, was that when the people of Israel harvest their land, they are to bring the first ripen unto God, and they are not to eat it. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ came to the world as a son of man, as a son of God, and he is the one that is going to harvest this planet Earth, as you will see in the book of Revelation chapter 19. Where the lamb was harvested during the harvesting. Now in that chapter, when the harvesting was done, he said it was the Son of Man that was harvesting the earth. The one that has a sharp sickle. Now that was the harvesting. And just like in the harvesting of any farmer, God said they must give the first fruits unto God. So the first fruits of this planet must be given to God. What does that mean? Must be given to heaven. These are the band of believers that will be living in the heavenlies, more or less in the heavenlies, while the rest of the believers that are saved will be dwelling upon this planet Earth. Because the Bible says this earth has God given to the sons of men. But the harvesting of this planet must come, and the other is the first fruits. According to Apostle Paul, he said, Christ and first, and the first fruits first. So the first fruits will be given unto God, and they will be priests unto God. They will be like they belong to God, so to speak, working for heaven concerning the jurisdiction of earth. That is how I can describe it. But it is in order, according to the ordinance of the harvesting of the earth given to the Israelites, that the first fruits belong to God and they must not eat it. That was why there will be a first fruit harvesting. And now this, you can see in the book of Revelation chapter 14 why the Bible said this 144,000 has the Father's name written on their foreheads. And what does that mean? It means they belong to the Father. They will be part of heaven. Now that I know that some other religions have said those are the only people that are going to heaven. Well, what they are really not understanding is that they actually belong to heaven. It's not mean that they are the only people that are going to be raptured or they're going to go to heaven, but it means they will be more or less dwelling in the heavenly realm, even in the new world to come, while the saints will come back to this planet to live on this planet for eternity, according to the scriptures that said the tabernacle of God will come back and be with men upon the earth. And the Bible also said Christ will come back and descend upon this earth with his bride to dwell in this planet earth. And that is after the harvesting has been done completely. Now, these are the first fruits that I'm pointing about here. But they are also being called the Elijah Company by some other people. Some people call them Elijah Company because of the scripture that said God will return the power of Elijah the prophet, an anointing of Elijah the prophet at the end of the age. And let's look at that in the book of Malachi, chapter 4. From verse 5, we see where it was prophesied that God will send forth Elijah. Where we can say that prophecy could have been talking only to the Israelites, to the Jews. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, here the Bible said, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Now, that means there will be an anointing upon believers, or a single believer, a single minister. Like people assume that that's just talking of one single Elijah the prophet. However, people have classified this first fruits manifestation as the Elijah company of saints. That is, these saints of God, we have anointing power that will be from Elijah company or more, like that of Elijah the prophet, or and much more, because the Bible said they actually will come to the fullness of the stature of Christ, and we can't compare Christ with Elijah. So Elijah was low compared to Christ. But these sons of the Most High God that are called first fruits, what do we mean by calling them first fruits? This is what we mean. Look at the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, where the Bible said God, Christ has put in his body, he has put these ministries in the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning from verse 9, he said, "Now that he ascended," what is it? "But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers," that is, he gave us gifts in the church, "for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now, this means that we saints are not perfected. When you are born again, that does not mean you are perfect, but you have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, from that time forward, you are holy. Now you are to become perfect by letting the Holy Ghost walk through you and letting the Word of God manifest itself and produce fruits in you. He said these ministries in the household of God, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, are to minister to the body of believers. Now you can say, "Well, I don't have any apostles in my own congregation." That is why you need to read literatures from other ministries, because God does not say he will put apostles and prophets in every little city or every little congregation. He is putting it among the bands of believers. That is why there are literatures being written. That is why there are preachers on the radio, so that you, if you are hunger and thirst for more of God, you should be open to listen, to read the scriptures, and let the Holy Ghost lead you to grow by those literatures and by those exhortations, whether by radio or by literatures. You must write in to get some of those literatures, and the Lord has made it available even that on the internet you can get some of those literatures freely that we are putting out there, so that you can get the ministries from different ministries that God has put anointing upon to bless his people for the perfecting of the saints. So we saints are to grow unto perfection for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why? Verse 13 tells us why. "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God," the knowledge of Christ, "unto a perfect man." So we are not perfect men yet until we come to this stature of Christ. "Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ," until we come to that fullness of Christ. That is what Christ manifested when he was on earth. We individually must come to that stature also. That is when we are perfect men. Whatever Christ manifested when he was on earth, he didn't manifest God on earth alone. He manifested his power of a Son of God on earth. That is, what we can become if we grew up to be what he wanted to grow up to, how far we can grow up to. That is what he manifested to us. He did all of those so that we can see the standard. He laid up a standard for us. And that standard is not that we never get to it. It is a standard that he wants us to get to. That is the will of the Father, that there will be many more sons brought unto glory at the end time. And we are getting closer and closer to the end time, that if anyone is going to get to that stature, it should be at this end time. And we believe we are at this end time because we could see the work of Christ in individual of us, moving us to grow up higher, to come up higher. And he has been working this in us for years, and not only in few of us, in multitudes that we have seen worldwide. And he's inviting you also that is listening to me, that you can also aspire to the goal of overcomers. And that is why we are preaching this to you. Aspire to the goal of overcomers, so that you can also be like Christ. You can also come and be partaker of this anointing. And he said, this is to bring us to the fullness of the stature of Christ. That is the goal. And when we come to the fullness of the stature of Christ, anybody individually that come to that fullness of the stature of Christ, the band of believers that come there first are called the first fruits. Where you say, when there must be a cutoff time, don't you think so? There must be a cutoff time when, even in the harvesting of a field of corn, or a field that anybody planted, the farmers planted a field, and this field begin to produce fruits. He will not just leave them there and keep saying they are all going to bear fruits. There must be a cutoff time when he will say, this is the time to harvest the first fruits. That is the normal thing in the natural. And that is what God does also in the spiritual. Well, we don't know the cutoff date, but there will be a cutoff time and a cutoff date when God will say, anyone that is not arrived at the stature that he is saying at this particular date will not be in the first fruits. So we have to be the one walking through these first fruits to get them to that height, because he has given a number in the Bible. The number he wants has been repeated in the Bible in Revelation chapter 14. He mentioned 144,000, and he said from all the earth. So which means the Father God must find 144,000 arriving at the stature of Christ at a particular date and a particular deadline that he will go to. That we don't know that deadline, but he is signing the deadline. And that deadline will be that from that deadline, he has got 144,000. And that is when the beginning of the end, really, that we are talking about. Because that is when the rapture can begin to take place. And that is when the sons of God can manifest. God must have that 144,000 first fruits. So, take a pattern or an analogy from the field when you plant corn. There will be a particular date when the farmer will go to the field and harvest the first fruits of corn. And that particular date, the farmer does not really ask for a number, but he has to know when the first ripen will begin to die, and when he wanted as many as a number to come to that ripen stage, and then he will go to the field and get them all before those that have ripened for quite some time right now will be plucking down by themselves, going dead. But God is looking for a time also, and he's going to harvest the first fruits and take them away, or manifest them, or keep them at a location, at a state, where they will all be waiting until he got that number. And when he get the number, then he can manifest all of them. That is what God is waiting for. This is what has been delaying the rapture, until he gets the first fruits to the height of faith, of fruition, and of manifestation of his fruits of love, joy, patience, long-suffering. Those are the things we are talking about when we say grow. You are going to grow, not just growing in your faith to do wonders. You are must grow in your fruits, the fruits of the Holy Ghost, to the stature of Christ. We Christians must grow in all the aspects of growth. The fruits that God wants to see in us is the fruits of the Holy Ghost. Faith is one of them. You have to know that. When we talk about growing, faith is one of the fruits he wants to see. He also wants to see divine love. He also wants to see patience. All the fruits of the Holy Ghost that were mentioned. Let's read it. In the book of Galatians, chapter 5, God wants to see all these fruits manifest. And we are to grow in these fruits of the Holy Ghost until these fruits are manifested in us. Verse 22. Of Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. See, all of these fruits are what must begin to manifest. And they must manifest up to the stature, to the measure of the stature of Christ. That is the type of love that Christ manifested on us. We must have that, our spirit tuned, our flesh, our soul tuned to be able to manifest that type of divine love on this planet Earth also. Or the faith that he manifested, we must be tuned in our spirit to be able to manifest that kind of faith also. That is what God is talking about when he says we are to come to the fullness of the stature of Christ, along with the peace and the patience and the goodness and the gentleness and the long suffering. All of these fruits are to manifest in individual of us as we grow, and they are all to manifest to the same measure, the measure of the stature of Christ. So this is what we are talking about when we say we are to grow until we are ripened to be first fruits unto God. Now I said this same group of bound of believers that we arrived there first are also called Elijah company of saints. But they will have manifested power much more than what Elijah manifested. In Joel chapter 2, we see this prophecy also in the book of Joel. And many people have said their own opinion about this prophecy, but I believe this prophecy is about the end time. Because you can see from chapter 2, from verse 1, where it said, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. Now, you know that's talking about the end time. For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the mountains spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong. Now God is talking about a great people coming. People have assumed he's talking about some soldiers, some military warriors, but this is spiritual. And we read for that to make you to see he's talking about the spiritual warriors at this end time that will be God's own army. Because when you look at the book of Daniel, and you see Daniel chapter 9, and also when he talks about it in chapter 2, when Daniel interpreted the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, he said, in the days of all those kings, that is chapter 2, verse 41, 42, and 44, that God, the God of heaven, will raise up his own kingdom. You know, when you raise up a kingdom, you've got to have an army. You have to know that. Because the armies of the Medo-Persian Empire will overcome the armies of the Babylonian Empire, and the Roman Empire's army will overcome the armies of the Grecian Empire. But those are physical army now. But God, God of heaven, will raise up his own army too, and he's going to raise up a kingdom. That is what Daniel prophesied. He's talking about the kingdom of God, but this kingdom of God is not going to be physical army that will be fighting some physical army on earth. They are going to be men also that will be army of God, but they are going to fight a spiritual battle, spiritual warfare. So that's the difference. But it's still a taking over. It's still an overthrow of kingdoms. Spiritual kingdoms now that are ruling upon this earth with the men. They are going to be overthrown, but you overthrow them from the spirit world first. And that is what God is raising up in this end time. The Bible is saying, and the book of Daniel, that at the time of all these kings, United Nation. When they have United Nation, all the kingdoms are all conglomerated together. The king, the God of heaven, will raise up a kingdom. So like the mountain that was, the stone that was cut out of the mountain without seeing the hand that cut it, is symbolizing the God of heaven will raise up a kingdom that will overthrow all these kingdoms of the earth. Now, that is the prophecy. And that is also being described in the book of Joel, when he said a great people are coming. But God is saying it's like a day of darkness, because God's army, he called them the God's army here. But he went further, he said, a great people and a strong, there has not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Now, look at what this army will do. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. Well, you may say, this looks like physical men fighting physical war. Well, that could also be, this prophecy could be double fold. But this that I'm talking about is for the spiritual power of it, where God is raising up his own army at the same time. Because we are going to read further, he said, the appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoured his trouble, as a strong people set in battle array. It doesn't say that they are going to be settling themselves in battle array, but they're just like a strong people setting in battle array. Before their face, the people shall be much pain, and all faces shall gather blackness. Now, you can see those are physical warfare. But verse 7 says, they shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. It's not talking that they will be men of war. They will just climb the wall like men of war. So this is spiritual climbing of walls now. And they shall march everyone on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. This is what God expects of his band of believers, the believers, the army of God at the same time. There will be no breaking of ranks. They shall all march according to the tune of the Holy Ghost. Now, marching means being led by the Spirit of God individually. Neither shall one trust another. They shall walk everyone in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. Now, that is supernatural protection that these saints of God will manifest. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ multiply 144,000 upon the earth, performing wonders of miracles. And there will be people that will want to attack them because of the name of Jesus they are calling, and they will not be able to do anything like that because, you see, they see with all their body, because the Holy Ghost can see things that are far off. Now he said, they shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executed his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. And who can abide it? Now this is describing, as I have said, the army of God at the same time, but it's not physical army, but they are physical men that are going to be joined to the army of Michael, that are going to overthrow Satan and his satanic forces. When Satan and his satanic forces are overthrown and cast down from heaven, you can see in the book of Revelation chapter 12, where the Bible said there was war in heaven. That was also prophesying. I know some preachers, some believers, some churches have assumed that was a war that happened when Christ was to come to this world, but that was heresy. That was not right. The Bible said this is prophecy. Everything that was in the book of Revelation was prediction from the time of Apostle John. So what you see in Revelation chapter 12 was prophesying of the future starting from the time of Apostle John. He said, I'll come up here and I will show you things that shall be hereafter. And chapter 12 was prophesying that, and he said there was war in heaven, in verse 7. And Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And you look at it in verse 11. Who overcame the dragon? The saints of God. Verse 10 said, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. You see now? So this is the after Christ has been resurrected, that this war took place. The war we are talking about is the war that is going to torpedo Satan and his angelic forces out of the heavenlies down to the ground, so that the saints can take over the heavenly realm in this end time. This is the war that we are talking about, and that is part of the war that is taking place right now when saints are growing up to the fullness of the stature of Christ. There is always confrontation with the forces of darkness, and that is what God is doing right now. But he's calling you. You want to be partaker of this end time drama? You've got to come believing. You've got to come humbly. You've got to come searching for Jesus, seeking for Jesus, wanting to grow, to become Son of God, to come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. That you must aspire for this goal, to become an overcomer for Christ. And Christ is saying, be zealous therefore and repent. Because in the book of Revelation chapter 3, Christ said, if you are neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. He's calling everyone at the same time to be hot for him. And the Bible said in verse 11 of Revelation chapter 12, and they overcame him, that is the saints, overcame him. Overcame who? The dragon, the serpent. By the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Now you can see from that Bible verse that he's talking of human beings. Because if you think the Michael and his angels are people that are the angels, the spiritual angels, the spirits of God, that are angelic spirits, well, they shouldn't be the one referred to in verse 11 here, that they love not their lives unto the death. So we, saints of God, that are human beings here, are going to be joined to the army of Michael in the spirit and fight Satan, and fight the satanic forces and cast them out of the spiritual realm down to the ground so that they will be under our feet. That is what the Bible meant when it say unto Christ, sit at my right hand. Sit down at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. That is, Christ is to reign in the heavens until the enemies of Christ, the enemies of the church, have been subjected under the feet of Christ. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, physical death. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is physical death. And Christ is calling you to aspire unto that goal, to be, come and be one of the army of Christ. Come and be one of the army of Michael. Come and aspire unto the fullness of the stature of Christ by praying, by keeping yourself holy. First, you must be born again. If you that is listening to me, you don't even know what I'm talking about. You are not even a Christian. You are not even born again. You are invited. Come unto me, Christ said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is all your troubles. Whatever has been causing the trouble, it is the devil that's causing the trouble. Christ said he wants to give you rest. When you come into the fold of Christ and become a Christian, believing that Christ died for you on the cross, believing the gospel that Christ paid the sacrificial, he became your substitutional sacrifice on the cross. When you believe that, confess it and get baptized in water, and Christ shall fill you with the Holy Ghost. Then you can begin to aspire to become like Christ by reading these scriptures, by growing, by believing, also by fasting and praying, by walking the walk which the prophets walked, and they pleased God. And these works are all listed in the scriptures, the precepts of Christ. If he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. So you have to begin to keep the sayings of Jesus. How will you know the sayings? Read the scriptures. They are all there in the New Testament. The sayings of Christ, we must diligently search for them and consciously keep them, consciously obey the commandments of the Lord, consciously follow the precepts of Christ in showing divine love, in showing compassion, and also showing all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And it is a duty for we saints to aspire to become like Christ. When we have that zeal in us, we are then going to be well placed unto the Lord. And then all these things we are talking about will be manifesting through in us. Now, what I have said so far is that Christ is calling a band of believers at the same time, which people have called the Elijah Company of Saints, which we also say are the first fruits. And you can aspire to be one of them by calling on the Lord Jesus Christ. And tell Jesus Christ yourself in prayer that I want to be one of them. Show me what I need to do. And the Lord will minister to you. He will reveal himself to you. He said, if a man love me, I will love him. And I will come and I will manifest myself unto him. He will show himself to you. And you will begin to see that Christ indeed wants you to come to the fullness of his stature. Because that is exactly what he wants us to be. He wants us to come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Now, I want to pray for you. I want you to bow your head if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and ask Jesus to come into your heart right now, that I want to be yours, Jesus, to become one of them that will overcome Satan and overthrow the satanic forces. Because at the end of all these troubles will be a new kingdom, a new heaven and a new earth. And you want to be a member of it, just tell Jesus, Lord, I pray for all the people that are praying right now, that you will touch them, that you will give them the understanding, and open their heart, Lord, to believe and to give their life into the hand of Jesus Christ. Amen.
This is Evangelist Julius Adewumi. Give your life today to the Lord Jesus Christ and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Write to me and we shall send you some exhortation. Our address has changed. The new address is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050. Again, our new address is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050, USA. On the internet, www.gospeldistribution.org. Send us email on the internet to the webmaster at gospeldistribution.org. Thank you.